Welcome to the Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. Today, our journey through the Bible brings us to 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 9. Have you ever wondered why some believers don't seem to grow up in their faith? In today's episode, Stephen explores this passage where Paul addresses the spiritual immaturity of the Corinthian church. Despite being believers, they were acting like infants in Christ. Stay tuned as Stephen unpacks Paul's teaching on growing up.
When a fourth grade teacher stands before her class, she's looking at a room full of students who are all about the same age. Now, she still knows that not all of them are at the same educational level. Several of them might be struggling with reading. Others will have a learning disability. Others will not be as mature emotionally as they really ought to be. And frankly, I think she deserves a Medal of Honor for taking on this challenge of bringing these students up to a fourth grade level. About a year before my mother passed away, she gave her sons boxes of mementos and memorabilia from our childhood. Well, inside my box, I found my fourth grade report card. The teacher had written a note to my mother that said, "Stephen is going to need some extra help in math." Well, she couldn't have been more correct. I struggled with that all the way through school and even into college. And even back then, my teachers knew I would have a challenge in that subject. Now, as we sail back into Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he's not dealing with a few struggling students. He's writing to an entire church that isn't up to the grade level they should be in their spiritual understanding and attitude. For the most part, the issue here is their lack of spiritual maturity. They've grown complacent and apathetic. They might be growing older in their faith, but they're not growing up in their faith. And that's possible for all of us today. So with that in mind, Paul writes here in chapter 3 and verse 1, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ." Now notice he addresses them here as brothers. That means they're fellow believers. But he can't speak to them as spiritually mature believers because they're acting, he says, as people in the flesh. In other words, they are believers, but they're not acting like they should. In fact, Paul describes them here in verse 1 as infants in Christ. They're baby Christians. He says in verse 2, "I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it." He's reminding them here of his teaching ministry in the early days when he planted this church. Back in Acts chapter 18, it tells us that Paul spent a year and a half teaching them, and he calls it here milk rather than solid food. Now, there's nothing wrong with feeding an infant milk. That's what they need. Figuratively, as used here, milk is likely, it's a reference to elementary truths, the basic facts related to the gospel. The solid food is going to refer to deeper doctrines of the faith. Now, evidently, they still haven't grown up enough to be able to chew on solid food. Paul summarizes why, here in verse 3, "you are still of the flesh and behaving only in a human way." In other words, you're backsliding in your thinking and acting. You're acting more like the Corinthians than Christians. Well, here's what's happened in their church as a result. Paul writes here in verse 3, "Now there is jealousy and strife among you." In other words, you're just like little children out there fussing on the playground over toys. They're fussing in the church. Have you ever noticed how little children like to choose their favorite superhero or their favorite superstar athlete, and then they argue with each other over, you know, which one is the strongest or which one is the fastest or the best? And you can hear them out on the playground arguing, "Mine is better than yours." Well, that's essentially what's happening here in Corinth as well. Paul writes this in verse 4, "For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not being merely human?" See, they'd chosen their favorite apostle, their favorite leader, their favorite preacher, and they're arguing over which one was the best. Well, now Paul begins to correct their immature thinking, and he's trying to bring them up to a level of maturity in their perspective. So he writes here in verse 5, "What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each." In other words, Paul and Apollos were nothing more than God's servants. Paul uses the word that refers to household servants here who were given daily tasks. So Paul says here that he and Apollos, well, they're members of the household of God, and they're simply performing their tasks as the Lord assigned them. And let me tell you, beloved, no task for the Lord is more important than another. No preacher is going to be rewarded above the nursery volunteer or the Sunday school teacher or the deacon. So let's not argue over where we get to play out there on the playground of ministry life. Let's just perform what God has assigned us to do without jealousy and strife. We're not competing. We are cooperating in establishing and equipping the church for God's glory. So if there's jealousy and strife in your church today, if there are divisions in your church, I can tell you, after pastoring some 40 years in the same church, the strife and division you're facing probably doesn't have anything to do with key doctrines. It has everything to do with opinions. A competition of opinions takes the place of cooperation. So let's remember this principle here. We are all servants in the household of God. Some plant, some water, some paint the classrooms, some teach the lessons, some lead the singing, some keep the nursery. Let's just perform our assignments with faithfulness and joy so that God is honored and the church remains unified. Now, to illustrate this principle, Paul takes them all out to the farm. He writes here in verse 6, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his wages according to his labor." Well, in this analogy, the church is like a field out there. Paul says he's the farmer who planted the seed, and this is planting the church in Corinth. Then the farmer Apollos comes along, and he waters it. And we know that Apollos remained in Corinth for some time after Paul teaching and pastoring this church. Both men played a unique role. But listen, Paul makes it clear that only God can make anything grow. We can plant the seed of the gospel. We can water it. We can add nutrients to it. But we don't have the power to give anybody spiritual life. The miracle of regeneration, the miracle of spiritual life and spiritual growth belongs to our Creator, our Sovereign Lord. A number of years ago, a university study undertaken by an agricultural school in Iowa came up with some interesting conclusions. They were able to estimate that for a farmer to produce 100 bushels of corn from 1 acre of land, well, he would need the following: 6,800 pounds of oxygen, 5,200 pounds of carbon, 160 pounds of nitrogen, 125 pounds of potassium, 75 pounds of yellow sulfur, and a number of other elements too numerous to list. Now, in addition to all of that, it's critical that that cornfield receive the right amounts of rain and sunshine, in fact, just at the right times. Well, the university study came to the conclusion that only 5% of the produce could be attributed to the contribution and efforts of the farmer. Now, obviously, that 5% included planting the seed to begin the entire process and weeding and fertilizing and adding nutrients to the soil. All that was critical. But in the end, they estimated that 95% of what was needed had to be provided by God alone. Well, that's what Paul is reminding the church in Corinth of here. Yes, somebody sowed the seeds. Yes, somebody tended the field. But in the end, it is God alone who has the power to bring about spiritual life, what we could call a bumper crop of new believers. So what do we do? Well, let's just do our part. And then let's trust God for everything else. Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and he called this lesson Growing Up in the Faith. Thanks for joining us today on the Wisdom Journey. Remember, Paul challenges you to grow in your faith. The Corinthians were acting like spiritual infants. They had jealousy and strife among them. We need to avoid these pitfalls. We need to think and act like mature believers in Christ. If you ever need help understanding the Bible, or if you have a question about the Christian faith, we have a tool to help you. We have a chatbot on our website that can search through all of Stephen's teaching in seconds. It can find the answer to your question and provide you a direct link where Stephen talks about that issue. Anytime you have a question about the Bible or the Christian faith, navigate to wisdomonline.org. Once you get there, here's how you find this resource. At the bottom of every page on the site, you're going to find a blue icon. When you click that icon, a box will open and you can type in your questions. And as I said, in just a matter of seconds, you're going to get a biblically faithful answer directly from Stephen's teaching. Now, it's possible that you'll ask a question that Stephen has never talked about. If that's the case, we won't be able to give you an answer. But most of the time, because Stephen has taught through so much of the Bible, you'll receive an answer to your question. And as I said, you can click the link provided, and you'll be able to listen to Stephen addressing that issue. I invite you to go to wisdomonline.org anytime. This tool is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it's ready to answer your questions. If we can help you personally, call us at 866-48-BIBLE. You can write to us at info@wisdomonline.org. Once again, that's info@wisdomonline.org. Do that today, then join us back here next time to continue your wisdom journey.